All right, not seeing anyone, we will go on to those that are here to speak in opposition. And I'm going to bring Ed Barrett over to get the conversation started. Welcome, Ed Barrett.
Thank you. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, members of the committee. My name is Ed Barrett. I'm a resident of Lewiston.
We can't see your video, which is fine, but if you'd like to join us with video too, we always love to put a name with a face.
There we go.
Thank you.
As I said, my name is Ed Barrett. I'm a resident of Lewiston, and I'm a recently retired city administrator here in Lewiston. I'm speaking in opposition of 1639 because it would negatively impact the ability of Resource Waste Services to continue to operate for the disposal of construction debris and oversized bulky waste. This would have a significant financial effect on Lewiston and its residents, as well as a number of other area communities, all of which would see significantly higher costs to transport these wastes to landfills. Resource Waste has up to 40 full-time employees and contributes about $14 million to our regional economy. Lewiston benefits from the operation through lease and tax payments and an allocation of free disposal of C&D and OVW waste, with a total direct benefit of about $275,000 annually to the city. As one example, since 2010, the city has demolished over 70 dangerous structures at a cost of over $2 million. Without Resource Waste accepting this debris at no cost, we may either have been unable to remove these items, these buildings, or would have had to pay a lot more at the expense of our taxpayers. Since the Lewiston facility came under the current ownership, the city has had a close working relationship with the facility and has seen continued improvements to its operations, including increased recycling and beneficial reuse rates. Just last year, the legislature adopted LD 401. That legislation redefined waste generated within the state and requires processing facilities to meet specific recovery goals. That legislation provided the necessary stable regulatory environment to allow Resource Waste to continue to operate and make planned improvements. LD 1639 would overturn that effort. I urge your opposition because of the negative effects this bill would have on, first, the direct taxes and lease payments to the city of Lewiston. Second, the employment at the facility and its economic spinover effects throughout the community. And finally, the increased cost to area municipalities, businesses, and individuals for disposal of C&D and OBW. I'd also urge your consideration of long-term negative effects of reversing the agreement reached last year in LD 401. Maine struggles under the perception that it's not a business-friendly state. A rapid reversal of last year's agreements, based on which Resource Waste has made financial commitments, will only add further to this perception. Therefore, I urge you to vote not to pass on LD 1639. Thank you for consideration. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions for Ed Barrett from the committee? I'm not seeing any. Thank you for joining us. Next up is Leonard Blanchett. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Senate Chair Brenner and Representative Chair Tucker and members of the Joint Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. My name is Leonard Blanchett, General Manager for the Brunswick Sewer District. I offer this testimony in respectful opposition to LD 1639, an act to protect the health and welfare of Maine communities and reduce harmful solid waste. As a publicly owned treatment works, our mission is to remove the solids from our community's wastewater. And in our humble opinion, we do that quite well, removing up to 95% of the solids, on average over 2,500 tons annually. In 2020, impacted by COVID-19, our biosolids removal was down to 2,200 tons. We fully expect that to increase as the economies and schools and colleges open back up to full-time attendance. Our understanding of LD 1639 is that it will limit the amount of our biosolids we take to a compost facility for recycling. That the facility cannot accept more than it did the previous year, and the restrictions in LD 1639 also apply to landfills, which is the only other option available to us. Our only other option will be to truck our excess biosolids out of state. As we cannot land apply, our ratepayers have already been severely impacted by the PFAS, PFOS situation by absorbing the higher cost to take to a compost facility. With LD 1639, they will now be paying an excessive cost for us to truck out of state. The new public law, Chapter 619, was enacted to help preserve landfill space by encouraging increased recycling. This bill appears to be in direct contrast to that legislation. Give Public Law 619 time to be implemented. In 2024, MDEP must report back to the legislature concerning the outcome of Public Law 619. We urge the committee to vote and not to pass for LD 1639. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leonard Blanchett. Are there any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Next up is James Cody.
Thank you, Senator. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
We sure can.
All right. Well, good morning, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the committee. My name is James Cody, and I'm here today on behalf of Resource Lewiston, which has been subject to a lot of this morning's discussion. I'll be brief in my remarks. You're going to hear from Greg Leahy of Resource Lewiston directly in a little bit. But I just thought it might be helpful to weigh in. I was one of the stakeholders involved in coordinating the discussions between the Department of Environmental Protection, other solid waste interests, Resource, Casella, and many others over the course of the 129th legislature. That dialogue, that discussion with the department in trying to get to a solution, which became Public Law 619, took about 18 months. And I won't convey to you that it was perfect for any one side. I think everybody walked away with benefits, and I think everybody probably walked away with some concerns as well. But the byproduct of those discussions was a unanimous report out of this committee last year, and a law that helps increase the recycling thresholds that we're seeing at Lewiston to the benefit of our solid waste goals generally here in Maine. That dialogue respected the state's solid waste hierarchy. It sought to help alleviate and achieve some resolution to some issues that the DEP has, specifically an example being the recycling of glass. Right now, we know that there are not markets for glass, and so the state has struggled to find a way to dispose of glass in a productive manner. Resource sat at the table for the better part of 18 months, productively, collaboratively, trying to get to a solution that made them step up. They understood that they had to do that, but it also protected the interests of the municipalities like the city of Lewiston and many others who have a role in this dialogue and in this policy. Respectfully, I don't think it comes as any surprise that we're here in opposition today. And I do just wanna say, I recognize that Senator Carney and other co-sponsors are very thoughtful policymakers, and but we would encourage at the end of the day to let chapters or Public Law 619 do its work. Let's measure its progress, see where it goes. Re-Energy Resource Lewiston has already made commitments and gotten approvals to make those improvements at the facility, and we have time. There's a 2024 date in statute now that will force the review of these changes and allow us to measure progress and, if needed, to make changes in the near future. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. The last thing that I would say is, as somebody pointed out just previously, it is so imperative that solid waste policy be durable so that companies can achieve what the state wants them to achieve in a way that's economical and of most benefit to the people of Maine and our environment. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions from the committee? Just right on time. Well done. Any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Next up is Chuck Eaton.
Good morning, members of Environmental and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Chuck Eaton, and I own a transportation company, Maine Logistics Solutions. We employ 26 people, and we've been servicing the waste industry in New England for almost 30 years. I am here today in opposition of LD 1639. If LD 1639 were to pass and Resource Lewiston were to cease operations, it would affect my business. We haul recyclables to Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine for Resource Lewiston, as well as pick up material in the same areas for Resource Lewiston to recycle. I was involved in the LD 401 hearings, and I thought everyone was in agreement with an increased recycling rates to continue progress towards Maine solid waste goals. There is a failed recycling business already in Maine, and material that is supposed to be recycled is being diverted into landfills. As I said in the last hearing, by supporting Resource Lewiston, you are supporting recycling. Please let the previous agreement and plan do what was intended to do, and I ask you to oppose LD 1639. Thank you for your consideration.
Any questions for Chuck Eaton from the committee? Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your testimony. Yep. Next up is Mitchell Exchange.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and the members of the committee, my name is Mitchell Exchange. I own Exchange Trucking LLC out of Gorham, Maine. I've been working with Resource Lewiston for many years. As my business grew and I bought more trucks and hired more employees, Resource has been there to accept and process everything from asphalt to insulation and carpet. They also have the tools necessary to recycle what we bring them and make sure they reuse as much as possible. I submit this testimony in opposition to LD 1639, an act to protect the health and welfare of Maine communities and reduce harmful solid waste. If this legislation were to pass and Resource Lewiston were to cease operations, no longer would my business be viable, and this would effectively force us to close our doors and put 7 full-time employees out of a job. My company and my trucks bring high-quality Maine wood products from all over the state of Maine to New England. Once these products have been delivered, on the return trips, our truck moved construction and demolition debris to Resource Lewiston for processing. Without a profitable return trip, it is an empty truck on the road. It is both bad for business and the environment. In 2020, Resource worked with the Department of Environmental Protection and the legislator on an agreement to update and modernize their facility and meet their goals. In fact, Resource just made more than $1.5 million in investments to technology. But this legislation now proposes to walk back the agreement and potentially put Resource out of business, impacting not only me, but countless other contractors. Now is certainly not the time to drive out a critical part of the state's waste management system. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Are there questions for Mitchell Exchange from the committee? Not seeing any. Thank you for joining us. And next up is Lincoln Jeffers. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I had to double check and make sure it was still morning. This has been going on for a little while. Appreciate the opportunity. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environmental and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Lincoln Jeffers, and I'm the Director of Economic and Community Development for the City of Lewiston. And I submit this testimony urging you to vote ought not to pass on LD 1639. There's been quite a bit of discussion, both for and against. Glad to hear some of the businesses that are working with this company have had a chance to weigh in here. Ed Barrett previously provided an accounting of the number of employees and investment that Resource Waste Services make, so I won't repeat them. However, I do want to point out, we've only heard from a few, but there were 50 customers and more than 100 vendors that this company works with. They are both a significant regional employer, and they provide, importantly, a needed service. Like in our NOC, derelict buildings need to be removed in order to repurpose land. Nobody likes to deal with waste. This company spends more than $400,000 annually in disposal fees at Juniper per Ridge. Beginning back in 2019, as Mr. Cody had pointed out, there's been quite a bit of conversation, a lot of stakeholders involved with how do we improve upon this situation. And I do encourage that we give time to pass legislation. They're sort of really changing the rules of the game here midstream. Resource is ready to spend $1.5 million. They've already been through the permitting process. They are poised to do it. And all of a sudden this legislation comes up. As proposed, LD 1639 puts that investment in jeopardy. The proposed recycling standards are uneconomical, unsustainable, and will likely result in Resource going out of business. After several years of working in good faith with the state of Maine, they are ready to take action to implement improvements recommended by the past legislation. And it was really Representative Tucker who noted at the beginning of this public hearing that rules should really be to attract investment, tax base, and jobs. It's just important to have clear standards and be predictable and consistent in their application. LD 1639 really runs counter to those goals. And for these reasons, I encourage the committee to vote ought not to pass on this legislation. Thank you for this opportunity and welcome any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee for Lincoln Jeffers? All right, not seeing any. Next up is Greg Leahy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning, Senator Brenner and Representative Tucker and the members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Greg Leahy. I'm the President and Chief Operating Officer of Resource Waste Services, which operates the facility in Lewiston that processes the construction and demolition waste that we've been talking about today. We accept a variety of typical non-hazardous C&D material, and we are clearly incented to optimize and recover all usable materials. In some cases, we produce, the end markets produce valuable products, as well as part of what happens is that material gets diverted from local facilities. Resource Waste Services supports approximately 40 direct jobs with dozens more of indirect jobs as well. We spend about $14 million a year in the state of Maine with more than 50 customers and more than 100 vendors in the state as well. The materials that we deliver to the Juniper Ridge landfill end up being direct payments of more than $400,000 a year to the Maine Department of Environmental Protection Solid Waste Fund for the disposal of waste at Juniper Ridge. And as was spoken earlier about Ed Barrett, it's an important source of revenue of approximately $275,000 a year to the city of Lewiston. The recovered materials are used in a wide variety of applications. We produce fuel for electricity generation, and the majority of the wood recovered for us goes into MDF, which medium density fiber board, for making other products that you'll probably end up using in your time frames here. We also handle and manage asphalt paving. We recover drywall, cardboard, plastics, metals, and other materials as well. We expect our business to play a critical role as Mass DEP to oversee the remediation of the sites at Maine that have been contaminated with PFAS, Some of the end products that we produce in Lewiston, including the oversized bulky waste and C&D fines, will be great bulking, or continue to be great bulking agents for the sludge and allow for its safe disposal. In addition, we see playing a role in assisting the state with the reuse of glass, which is currently being landfilled due to the lack of an end market for recycled glass. We intend to process glass with recovered asphalt, brick, and concrete to be used as pipe bedding for replacing virgin products at the landfills, as well as creating a new market for recycled glass. Our services are part of Waste Services was part of a broad-based stakeholders group, as James spoke of, that worked with the ENR committee as well as the state legislature for approximately 18 months, and we worked very hard to refine and get unanimous support for LD 401. As a result of the enactment of the law, Resource committed to make an investment in new equipment and technology to increase the facility's recovery rate. We continue along with making that investment of more than $1.5 million to install new equipment and processing line at Lewiston facility. We've received Mass DEP approval to make those improvements. The large equipment items have been all placed on order and delivery dates have happened. And it's going to give us the opportunity to increase and recycle more materials in a meaningful way. And also recover more asphalt, brick, and concrete, as well as be able to take, recycled glass and provide a new home for those. As we continue with the capital investment, it's significant for our business. It's critical for us to have a stable regulatory environment and be able to rely on the policy that's been shaped by 18 months of civic engagement by many of the parties that we've heard from today. We believe that the law enacted last year will help the state continue to meet its solid waste goals and increase recycling, and ask the committee to provide a full opportunity for us and others to abide by the new provision in that law and provide the necessary time for those provisions to be followed, for the outcome to be analyzed as part of the Mass DEP 2024 update to the state waste management recycling plan. If LD 401 were to be enacted, our facility in Lewiston would cease operations. For the above reasons, I urge you to vote ought not to pass on LD 1639.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Tucker.
Good morning, Mr. Leahy.
Good morning.
Obviously, you need a sufficient quantity of product in order to operate. There's a economy of scale, I imagine, that applies. Do you think that if the out-of-state construction and demolition debris were reduced, you would be able to make up for that with CDD that's generated in Maine, in other parts of the state?
Representative Tucker, I would, that conversation we had at length during that 18-month process, and due to the remote locations of a lot of the material coming to that, how far it would have to travel, it made it economically not feasible for those to do that. So we do need an amount of material that makes this economical. So it's critical to be able to continue to accept material from out of state.
Thank you.
Representative Tucker, did you have a follow-up? Okay. Any other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you for joining us. Next up is TJ Troiano.
Morning, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Environmental Natural Resources. Thank you for allowing me to present today. My name is TJ Troiano. I represent Troiano Waste Services. We are a family-owned and operated collection and transfer company for solid waste here in the state of Maine. I'll be short and pretty concise, as there's a lot of people testifying today, and I'm sure we're going to repeat each other quite a bit through it. But I'm speaking in opposition to LD 1639. just wanted to kind of throw out a few examples of why. First, I was kind of shocked to see it on the agenda this year after the 18 months that ReEnergy worked with the state on LD 401, and thought maybe we'd let them go for a year and see what their investments did and see how that could improve the whole system. I can't imagine what it is to operate a business in the state and not know what direction you should be putting your money into and investing capital while rules are changing behind the scenes. I don't believe in landfilling all our material. It's never been anything our companies strive for, but unfortunately that's where some of the material must go. We believe in the future, like the investments ReEnergy Resource is making, there will be better solutions for recyclables as well as our waste. We're picking away at it little by little in the industry and trying to invent those processes. Some of the unintended and intended outcomes that I see if this bill was to pass as is written, that Resource ReEnergy would not be able to get enough volume to operate at scales of economy and would be forced to shut down. I know there's always talk about, is there enough material in the state of Maine to make ReEnergy profitable? But I want to kind of throw out why some of that material doesn't work for the ReEnergy system. We own a transfer facility down here in South Portland, and by the time our materials headed towards ReEnergy, it's material they're not going to want because we've already pulled all the recyclables out, so it's going to head straight for Juniper Ridge. You've also got the northern part of Maine where the transfer stations are going to send the stuff down to Juniper Ridge, but they're not going to drive past Juniper Ridge, increasing the carbon footprint to go to Lewiston to turn around and go back up to Juniper Ridge. So you've got to get trucks in the right direction, as well as the product. It has to be product that hasn't been processed prior to getting to ReEnergy. They also employ quite a few people directly and indirectly, I would say upwards of 75 people, which would be, as we know in the state right now, detrimental to see 75 more people out of work. We also have the bark mouse that leaves our state, and as we've heard earlier, the trucks go both ways loaded right now. If it's to be unloaded one way, we're inherently hurting the environment more than helping, as well as driving costs up. Again, I urge us not to pass this bill in the form it's in right now. I think a greater idea would be, let's get all the stakeholders in a room, even bring in, if we had to, some out-of-staters. I think this is a regional problem, what we do with our waste, how we recycle it, and there's a lot of industrial experts that can help cultivate some solutions here rather than just always attacking the out-of-state demo that comes into our state. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tucker has a question. There you go.
Mr. Troiano, does Maine, to your understanding, truck any of our waste out of state?
To my understanding, yes, we actually truck waste out of state. We haul into the Wheelabrator and Covanta facilities in Massachusetts with municipal solid waste from time to time. As well, I know a lot of our e-waste leaves the state, a lot of hazardous waste, and a lot of medical waste, which if I had to choose which one stayed here, it'd be demo over medical waste.
Thank you.
Representative Johansson has a question.
Thank you, Senator. And this may not be a fair question for you, sir, but in Aroostook County, do you know of any of our waste that's trucked into New Brunswick going out of the country?
I do not know the answer to that. I know that waste does leave the country. We used to ship some out of our facility in previous years. I would urge somebody in that part of the state could probably answer that better.
I don't have I can't right now. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Troiano? Senator Carney, I think we will probably hold off on additional questions from the sponsor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Gramlich.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chan, for coming and for your testimony. And this may not be 100% fair for you specifically, but as we've been hearing folks come forward, there's been quite a bit of reference to LD 401 from the last session. So I'm just wondering if you know the original intent of LD 401 and who had submitted it and why.
It's a hard one for me to answer completely. I don't want to speak out of terms, but I can tell you what I believe I understand. I believe the LD401's idea was to improve the recycling in the state of Maine, reword some of the language, count some different things in recycling. I don't know who the original sponsors were. Again, don't want to talk out of terms, but I know it was worked on for like over 18 months. We had some opinions in it from our standpoint, along with ReEnergy, some other stakeholders. There was quite a few involved in how can we get ReEnergy and the other processing facilities into a spot where they can recycle more and they're willing to put the investment in, as well as, you know, start to worry about our waste in Maine.
Thank you. Just for clarification, Representative Ryan Tipping submitted that bill. He was a representative from Orono, and he put it in on behalf of activists who were very concerned about, we've heard previously in terms of the Penobscot River and into it by Juniper Ridge. And the intent originally was to limit out-of-state waste. So just wanted to put that out there for clarification. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Representative Dudera.
Thank you, Chair Brenner. Thank you, Mr. Troiano, for being here. You mentioned in your testimony that you felt like the rules had changed behind the scenes, and I'm just wondering what you're referring to. Thank you.
I guess I'm referring to, you know, it felt like LD 401, although maybe not exactly how everybody wanted it, came to a decent compromise for a few years to see what ReEnergy and other processing facilities could do with the new terminology. And then this coming up again this year, this has been a bill I think that's been in play for a while, but kind of undermines everything that was discussed and put into play for ReEnergy to spend that capital. I can't imagine being in their shoes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Troiano. Are there any additional questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Next up is Shelby Wright. Thanks for joining us. Good morning. Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Afternoon. Hi. So thank you, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, esteemed members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Shelby Wright, and I am the Manager of Engagement for the Eastern Region of Casella. Casella is opposed to 1639. We believe that the bill will take the state backwards in its commitment to recycling more waste and will send ripples through the recycling and solid waste management industry while creating unintended consequences for our environment. It's going to cause an abrupt halt to construction and demolition debris recycling, or CDD recycling, as the bill does remove any mandate for recycling the materials while essentially shutting down the state's largest CDD recycling facility, and cause a rise in disposal costs for municipalities and a reduction in the ability to dispose of wastewater sludge. Contrary to most of the testimony that you heard this morning, all these impacts will be felt without any reduction in landfill volume or any effect on the leachate discharge at the state-owned landfill in Old Town. 1639 redefines waste generated in the state, which the anti-landfill folks frame as a loophole, when in fact the existing statute was created as a lifeline to allow Maine's recycling and solid waste industry to better serve the Maine residents and businesses by maintaining a robust and affordable option for recycling and solid waste processing in the state when capacity of state waste wasn't enough to generate the facility's profitability standards. And residuals from the CDD recycling process include fines and bulky material that can't be further recycled. And these are used in Maine landfills for daily cover, grading and shaping, bulking of wastewater sludge, and other wet waste that by themselves aren't ideal for landfilling because of structural issues. That means that they're being used for something other than waste disposal. And as Senator Carney actually stated this morning in her response to one of Representative Tucker's questions, if we can beneficially reuse these process residuals, then we're in effect maintaining our adherence to the solid waste hierarchy, where waste can be reused without harming or presenting a threat to public health, safety, or the environment. These and other beneficial materials, such as alternative daily cover, are necessary to a well-functioning solid waste and recycling infrastructure, as well as a well-engineered and environmentally friendly landfill facility. Without the use of beneficial use materials for ADC, the alternative would be to mine virgin soil or sand that would have to be excavated and trucked into the site for daily use. And preserving virgin resources, obviously, is paramount to protecting the reduction of waste as well as Maine's natural environment. And again, all of these additional environmental impacts would be felt without any reduction in landfill volume or effect on leachate discharge. We think, Casella and I, think it is time to have a serious discussion about how we can recycle more construction and demolition debris. The state of construction and demolition debris recycling in Maine is actually grim. So in its efforts to eliminate some out-of-state waste, LD 1639 removes CDD recycling mandates, ensures that no in-state CDD gets recycled, and closes a necessary recycling facility that could put over 75 people out of a job. So please vote ought not to pass on 1639.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? All right, not seeing any. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Tim Wade is next. Welcome, Mr. Wade.
Good morning. This is Phil Tucker. Tim had a they come up.
It didn't look like Tim.
Thank you, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name again is Phil Tucker. I'm the president of Maine Water Environment Association. Association is a nonprofit of all volunteer association of over 650 water quality professionals throughout Maine. We appreciate the opportunity to provide comments in respectful opposition to LD 1639. Our primary concern with this bill is that it will further restrict Maine's ability to safely dispose of biosolids, raise costs for Maine consumers, and work against other efforts the state is making to protect public health from harmful materials such as PFAS. LD 1639 appears to be aimed at restricting out-of-state waste going to public landfills by limiting the amount of residue and bulky waste that can be accepted by these landfills. Related legislation was defeated a year ago. Briefly, the waste material identified in this bill comes from construction and demolition debris and other waste processing, waste-to-energy plants, and waste recycling facilities in Maine. By statutory definition, these fine residues and oversized materials that result from processing are considered in-state waste. This bill would undermine current law by imposing an arbitrary threshold on what is defined as in-state waste. If passed, this bill would have the chilling effect of removing valuable landfill cover and bulking materials that landfills in Maine would have to replace with virgin natural resources. That means using bulking materials that are necessary for managing and disposing sludges at landfills will be more costly. These additional costs will be borne by the municipal taxpayers and customers of wastewater systems. Given the issues with PFAS and biosolids, this creates a financial double whammy that very few communities can accommodate. Passage of LD 1639 would also discourage recycling, flipping the solid waste hierarchy on its head. What currently exists is law that was collaboratively developed by DEP and solid waste stakeholders. This law was approved by this committee, had no objections from the House and Senate, and was ultimately approved by the governor. LD 1639 would also greatly impair the ability of landfills in Maine to safely dispose of biosolids, which has rapidly become one of the few means of its disposal. Maine's response to PFAS is one driver. To limit the likelihood of PFAS in wells, Maine has imposed limitations on the land application of biosolids, and as a result, more biosolids than ever are being disposed in landfills. This is creating rising challenges at landfills, including increased concerns related to odors, reliance, and bulky wastes to mix with biosolids at a ratio of up to 5 parts per part of biosolids for landfill stability reasons. Increased coordination at landfills is also necessary to ensure waste is ready to mix with biosolids when the load arrives.
If you could start to find closure with your testimony.
Yes.
Thank you.
So looking forward, MOEA is interested in a coordinated approach to managing biosolids, having a sustainable solid waste infrastructure that includes biosolids and environmental policy that safely manages all waste. I thank you for your time and attention in considering our testimony. We respectfully request that you vote LD 1639 ought not to pass.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Are there any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Mr. Goldberg, Neil Goldberg is next. Good morning or afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, my name is Neil Goldberg, and I am providing testimony neither for nor against LD 1639 on behalf of MMA's Legislative Policy Committee. While discussing this bill, our Legislative Policy Committee came across 3 competing points of interest. The first is the impact to the revenues on the facilities that this bill will impact. By limiting or restricting the amount of residue that these facilities can produce, we are effectively putting a cap on their revenue potential. This does feel particularly hurtful for these facilities because recently they have made some pretty significant investments in anticipation of receiving out-of-state waste. And this bill, again, minimizes the returns as well as their ongoing revenues. Second, the association looks at this restriction as a benefit to the environment. It sends a clear message that Maine is focused on properly managing its own waste stream and isn't going to further enable out-of-state waste producers to pass their responsibility onto Maine. Now, this message, if we send it, does depend on the few capable facilities remaining in the state to stay open to receive the waste that's generated in state. And so, going back to that first point, if we are going to impact their revenues, we might impact their further operations and behaviors. Third, which has been brought up already, is the extent to which CDC is mixed with other hazardous wastes to reduce toxicity in wastewater sludge prior to landfilling. Although this legislation isn't going to directly impact that process, it might have an impact on the larger supply chain. And so if this bill is passed, incineration and recycling facilities might suddenly be desperate for more CDC, which drives up the costs for all of its uses. The association would encapsulate LD 1639 as a benefit to an environment, a punch to our incineration facilities, and a toss up for the CDD supply chain. Because of this balance of perspective, we have chosen to be neither for nor against this bill, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Next up is Scott Furman. Scott Furman is also here to speak neither for nor against. And if you're in the attendee space and you're here to speak regarding the legislation at hand, for, against, or neither for nor against, if you could raise your hand, if we've missed you somehow, that would be great. Thank you. Welcome, Scott Furman. We're ready when you are.
Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, I'm Scott Furman, I'm the Director of Wastewater Services for the Portland Water District. I provide this testimony neither for nor against LD 1639. The Portland Water District is a quasi-municipal authority authorized by state charter to provide water service to over 200,000 people in 11 greater Portland communities and wastewater treatment and collection services to six of those communities. In serving the needs of our wastewater communities, we safely accept, convey, and treat wastewater generated by residential, commercial, and industrial users. In this process, biosolids are generated that must be managed. These materials generated by all wastewater treatment plants in Maine historically have been beneficially reused through agronomic land application, composting, and also landfilling. In the case of the Portland Water District, we generate the largest volume of biosolids in Maine and have relied on composting, commercial digesting, and landfilling. Because of PFAS and PFAS concerns, we are primarily landfilling our material. In fact, statewide, wastewater treatment facilities have had to look for alternate disposal methods for biosolids, and more biosolids are being moved to landfill. As was discussed previously, biosolids landfilling requires a mix of about 5 to 1 municipal solid waste or bulky waste for every ton of biosolids. Our concern is waste is limited, and the amount of waste accepted at landfills is potentially reduced in light of the challenges that wastewater treatment facilities are facing in managing biosolids. This could eliminate what we think is currently our last outlet. In fact, during the beginning of the pandemic, when Massachusetts construction and other construction activities shut down, there was a dramatic decrease in the amount of waste being accepted at landfills. And we were having weekly discussions about the ability to accept our biosolids for disposal. Construction activity resumed and the issue was alleviated. The Solid Waste Network Management Network is highly integrated. Changes in policy related to the volume of waste and out-of-state waste accepted at landfills can have systematic effects that could ripple through the entire solid waste management system and create unintended consequences. Restricting out-of-state waste while biosolids have only landfilling as a primary final management option will have sudden and chilling impacts. For these reasons, the district urges you to carefully consider the issue at hand in concert with other solid waste challenges in Maine, including biosolids management in the face of current PFAS concerns. Thank you very much for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you so much, Scott Furman, for your testimony. Are there any questions from the committee? All right, I'm not seeing any. That is the last person I have signed up to testify. If there's anyone else in the attendee space that's here that would like to speak about the legislation at hand, LD 1639, if you could raise your hand. All right, and with that, we'll close the public hearing on LD 1639. Thank you, Senator Carney, for bringing this legislation forward. And with that, I think we should take a 30-minute lunch break, which will bring us back right around 12:45.